Welcome to Union Solidarity International, USI, and our first podcast from Athens. My name's Andrew Brady. After a momentous and historic week in Greece, after elections, there is still no government and the people of Greece still await. In all likelihood, the analysts say that fresh elections will be called for June, where a progressive left party, Syriza, looks set to capitalise, as opinion polls now show that they are the party most favoured by the people of Greece. We're in a busy cafe in the streets of Athens, surrounded by financial institutions that have been partly to blame for the austerity measures imposed on the people of Greece. I'm here with my colleague, Vangelis Lagos. Vangelis, it's been quite a week in Greece. Would you want to just give your opinions and flavour of not only your opinion in the aftermath of the elections, but what are the people saying in the city of Athens?
Hello, Andrew. Thank you for this. It's true that the 6th of May elections signified an important change in the Greek political system. The bipartisan system is crumbling down as the citizens have denounced the policies of austerity and of the country's selling off. Moreover, new political forces appeared, while some other older ones did not manage to be represented in the new parliament. However, the most important development, in my view, is the great electoral support, the great electoral success of a left-wing progressive party that rejects austerity and promises to stop the dissolution of the Greek of the social fabric in Greece and to reconstruct the country in favor of the people and not in favor of the bankers and the employers. Right now, the people feel that they have punished those responsible for the dramatic situation of the country and that they have restored some of their dignity and hope. While the problems have not vanished, the people feel that something is changing, not only in Greece, but also in Europe. They understand that the road will not be without obstacles, but for the first time in the two horrible previous years, they feel that they are not Europe's guinea pigs anymore, that they can reclaim their sovereignty, and that they can protect democracy and the country.
Thank you for those opening comments, Vangelis, and I've been quite struck and taken aback, actually, by the sense that the people of Greece, in particular Athens, where USI is, don't see this as a problem of Greece. They see this as a wider programme that has been rolled out across Europe, and that Greece is at the front line of this battle. And I've been quite taken aback, actually, by the wide peripherals that the people have in Greece, that they do understand and see that this is a technocratic and neoliberal agenda that has been unleashed on people across Europe. And in my meetings with yourself and trade unionists, how nearly every single one of them said that this isn't an election about Greece, this is an election about the future for Europe. The people of Greece really do see it like that, don't they?
Absolutely. And this is something really new. The people here finally understood that the problem is not Greece. But this is a wider problem, a European problem. And that Greece was the weakest link, so to say. And that it has been used as a laboratory to test austerity policies that are going to be implemented across Europe. This is why they decided to resist these policies. They know that what happens now in Greece, it's Europe's future. And they understand that they have to fight back, not only to save their country, but to stop this thing from happening to all other European peoples.
Absolutely, that's certainly the impression that's came across in my meetings with trade unionists and solidarity networks. I've been privileged to meet trade unions from the pharmaceutical sector and representatives from trade unions in the finance sector, even the Greek Actors Trade Union, entertainment confederations, and it's the same message that's coming across, not only from trade unionists, but people who we've actually met in a personal capacity and had the opportunity to have a conversation with. I don't think people quite realise the human story that is very real in Athens and Greece at the moment, where people share electricity, people share food, people share clothes, people exchange subway tickets in order to help the ordinary person get by. And there's a real feeling of solidarity, isn't there? Because the attack in people's wages in terms of conditions has been quite astounding. We had the opportunity to meet someone yesterday who has only been paid 300 euros over 2 months. It's just astounding.
It is. And this is precisely why the people understood that they have to react. They have to react not only politically through voting, but also with developing a kind of solidarity that could help them defend each other against this attack, which is against an entire society, not just against person, against some of the people, but it is against an entire society and against all the social institutions in this society. Social security institutions are crumbling down after the PSI. The universities also, and the hospitals, and the educational system. The previous year was something astonishing happened in the Greek schools. The Greek schools began the year without any books at all for the children, and some of the schools were obliged to serve meals because the parents of the students could not afford for the daily food of their children. So solidarity was the only way for the people, was the only way for the people to manage to cope with the great difficulties that we're facing.
Thanks for that response and your comments, Vangelis. I think what has been personally shocking for me is the everyday life story of people in Athens, the human story. I think it's often very easy to get caught up in the economic and financial analysis of what's happening at the moment. But in talking to trade unionists and networks like the unemployed and precarious workers, about hearing the human story of suicides increasing by 40% in the last year, HIV rates exploding across Athens in particular, it's the personal tragedies and the social costs are quite unbelievable. Parents being forced to pay for vaccinations of their children but can't afford it, and disease is increasing. And then you have the wider structural reforms and the attacking workers on top of all this, whereby, as part of the terms of the second bailout, there is a move towards individualised contracts for every single person in Greece. It's just mind-boggling. And this really is not only a political economic crisis, but a real social crisis. And that's been very much at the forefront of our discussions with people in Athens. Would you like to just say something about the social conditions and the challenges for people in Athens in everyday life?
Everything you have said is true. I would add that the suicides have, in 2 years, we have 2,000 suicides. It's almost a war. These are victims of a war against an entire society. Never before the suicide rates were so high in Greece. And the people understand that this is going to destroy the society and to destroy their lives. The truth is that we're facing a humanitarian crisis right now. People, more and more people need food kitchens in order to survive, or doctors offering for free their services. And solidarity networks in order to support them, because they have no other way of managing the cost of life, which is still very high, despite that their wages and pensions have been significantly cut.
Yes, a factor that I've also been personally taken aback by is the point you've just made, whereby we've had mass redundancies, 120,000 at least expected in June as part of the second bailout. We've had wage cuts of 40% for those fortunate enough to still have a job, but yet the price of living, the cost of living is still so high. Even the simple things like having a pint of beer is €6, but people have no money to buy. So we've seen in the last couple of days and hearing the stories of the solidarity networks that have been set up in order for people to get by, to be able to purchase things, perhaps not with money, but by even bartering and exchanging goods. In our meeting with the network of unemployed and precarious workers, we were told about the social movements, such as the movement for cheap potatoes, the solidarity convenience stores, and other issues that solidarity networks are required for, such as medicine and doctors and healthcare needs. It's been quite astonishing, actually, that the cost of living still has remained so high, but yet people don't have the resources in order to purchase goods.
Sadly, this is so true. And if the austerity continues, it's going to be even worse. Now the unemployed in Greece are more than 1,200,000 people. For these people and their families, this is a dead end. There is no other way than be marginalized and to suffer all the consequences of marginalization. We hope that this is going to be stopped after the recent elections, and that the message will be conveyed clearly and loudly across Europe that austerity is just killing the society, not helping in any way at all.
I think that's a very good point to end on, Vangelis, and USI will be doing several more podcasts while we remain in Athens, including from Syntagma Square, where there'll be protests held across Europe opposed to austerity. And in the meetings we've had so far, there is a message of hope that in adversity there does come opportunity. And the people of Greece are sending a message that has been loud and that has been heard loud and clear across Europe.
During the last few days, the previous few days, we have been discussing USI with a number of unions and labor organizations, and I'm very happy to see Greek trade unionists to show genuine interest and to be willing to support and participate in this important international initiative of the British and Irish trade unions. This is very important because the Greek workers will have the chance to unite with their European comrades, gaining support and contributing to the international struggle against austerity. Thank you.
Thank you very much indeed, Vangelis. That is the end of our first podcast in Athens, and we look forward to giving you more reports as the people of Greece say no to austerity.